case for today is United States against Neal, number 11-1338. Mr. McGowan. You get the afternoon shift, Mr. McGowan.
May it please the Court. Andrew McGowan on behalf of Mr. Tyree Neal from the Federal Defender's Office from the Central District of Illinois. Mr. Neal appealed the District Court's modification of a supervised release condition. The District Court added a phrase to the conditions that existed that allowed the probation office to subject him to up to 52 tests a year. The record, unfortunately, does not disclose the reason for this modification. However,
I thought the reason was that the court determines that Mr. Neal has a pretty serious drug problem. I mean, you know, the initial sentence just has the three drug tests, but in the discussion at the later proceeding, looks to me like the court thinks that there's a big drug problem.
Well, I don't deny that the court thought that there was a big drug problem, and that's certainly what was discussed at the end of the hearing. However, the conditions, the drug testing conditions, did provide for three, but the problem that this court has identified in prior cases is that that allows the probation officer, especially in a situation like this case where he's supervising a potential drug analysis supervising him going to a specialist about his drug use to see whether he needs more help. Now, under those circumstances, that is what was in the original original judgment. And under those circumstances, the problem is that the probation officer could ask for a lot more than those three tests. And in the Tejeda case, that this court ultimately found that this problem is not a plain error. It doesn't amount to plain error. This court talked about the ability of somebody to go in and ask for a modification. But so the court's justification for this, after sort of imposing this without any kind of basis, without any reason, what I'm saying is that the probation office or the government didn't provide a specific reason for it. That hearing was essentially because the probation office, that we know of anyway, probation office wanted him to be evaluated for his anger.
Right. I mean, I understand that this hearing seems to have been triggered by the probation office's interest in mental health issues, and then it somehow morphs over into a discussion of whether there should be more drug tests ordered. But the district court has a great deal of discretion, even in modifying conditions of supervised release. So is it all that important that this was triggered by the mental health concern?
Well, actually, we don't even know that. Unfortunately, the record really does not have the reason for this additional modification.
Is any sort of change of circumstance required to modify a condition of supervised release? The fellow goes up and serves a long sentence. When he comes out on supervision, the judge may have some motivation for modifying the conditions that were set years previously.
No, I understand that.
It doesn't require a change in circumstances, does it?
The government cited two cases. The answer is probably not. The government cited two cases for that proposition, and the question in those cases was whether the judge could change the conditions or add to them without any new information from the pre-sentence report. The problem that I've identified in this case is a very technical legal problem, in that the only thing that this changed was an illegal provision.
But is that so clear? The government contests that. They say it actually wasn't an illegal provision if you look at the oral sentence that was originally imposed.
Your Honor, the government's argument is completely off what I'm arguing, unfortunately. The government's saying, well, orally he said it was the judge who was determining this, and in the written order he's saying that the probation office was supposed to do this, and of course the oral would control over the written. When I read the written, I don't even see a problem there. The problem is that the supervising probation officer under that original order is not restricted necessarily to those three tests. Now, that's a decision that this court hasn't made yet. Other courts have. The First Circuit has. in one of the cases I've cited in my reply brief. But the problem in this case is the list of things that the judge can use to modify somebody's supervision, conditions of supervision, does not include an illegal provision.
Well, yeah, I understand that you say the unlimited discretion of the probation officer would be is an illegal condition, but it wasn't challenged on appeal, and it's still in force. So couldn't it be enforced? Couldn't the probation officer have asked for that fourth or fifth or sixth?
Exactly. And that gets to my remedy. I'm asking simply that this court vacate that extra condition, and if problems arise during supervision, Mr. Neal or the probation office can bring this to the court's attention and ask for clarification.
So we send it back. Probation officer asks for a fourth test. Your client objects. The hearing is held. The judge says, fine, I'm modifying the conditions of supervised release. He was directed to take a test, wouldn't do it. I'm concerned that he might be using drugs. Therefore, he now has to go up to 52 times a year.
I would agree with this court with one additional factor. His supervision, his progress over supervision would be included in any kind of new hearing on this. And that's an important consideration when you're considering the remedy that Tejeda discusses in some detail. It's simple. You just go in front of the judge and say, look, I don't want to do any more tests. And the judge can find out whether he's been compliant with other terms, whether he's shown any dirty urines in the meantime. I mean, we're not talking about somebody who's necessarily just simply failing because he's committed a crime on supervision.
I guess the reason that the judges try, you know, I mean, it's a very work-intensive process that you're talking about, right? And for at least some people, the record seems to be clear enough that you can just put the prophylactic provision in there. You can be pretty sure. Maybe if after a year he's clean all year, he's certainly free to go back and say, this is, you know, we don't need 52 tests anymore. Maybe we could do with, you know, once every 4 months or something. So that kind of modification is possible. But for the judge to try to get in there and, you know, get off to a reasonable start is, I think, what's going on. It's efficiency in part, prophylaxis.
Well, the court has the record before it. I believe that the only real reason that can be shown in this record is that it was an illegal provision. And unfortunately, like I said, nobody really talked about it at the hearing. And, in fact, the probation officer, we only know that the probation officer probably even recommended it because the judge mentioned it. Unless there are any other questions, I'd like to reserve the rest of my time.
Mr. Norwood.
Good afternoon, Your Honors, and may it please the court and counsel. The government may be confused a little bit with the argument raised by Mr. Neal, but as I understand it, he is simply contesting the number of tests and saying that the district court could only, that he could only be subjected to three tests, period, throughout his entire term of supervised release.
But I thought that the reason for that was this concept that if the original condition of supervised release is illegal, the government can't just kind of go in and clean it up after the fact.
Well, the government's position is, first of all, that the initial provision was not illegal. Judge Murphy, who had the case at that point, indicated that the defendant had to submit to one urinalysis within 15 days after release and then two thereafter as determined by the court. That was his
oral
pronouncement.
Right, right.
And what's important, at the time this hearing was held in front of Judge Gilbert, Judge Murphy recused himself in 2010, and Judge Gilbert took over the case. What's important is at the time of this hearing, Mr. Neal had only been subjected to two tests at that time. So the court, neither probation or anybody had extended, had gone past the three tests. At that point, Judge Gilbert said, no, I'm going to modify it and put the provision in that I have put in.
Now, did he just come up with this out of the blue? I did have a little bit of trouble figuring out where this came from.
I've tried to, as I get older, my memory gets shorter. I tried to remember how this came about. I believe either Mr. Neal's attorney or the probation officer contacted me the day before, the morning of, saying Mr. Neal is going to want to raise this raise this provision at the hearing. That's what I recall.
Mr. Neal's going to want to raise it? Or
Mr. Neal was going to want to. The record indicates that before he even was formally put on supervisory
letter or about a year
he wrote
prior to that.
Yeah, he wrote a letter saying, how many tests can I be subjected to? Mr. Neal, his own attorney describes him as a contentious person, and I think that's fair. I think this is his fourth appeal of some sort before this court. But what's important is he was not subjected to more than three tests before Judge Gilbert modified the provision based on his what Judge Gilbert observed in the pre-sentence report and the fact that 9 days after being on supervised release, he got into a domestic incident with his daughter.
Thing, right?
You just have to know Mr. Neal. Another thing that's important is that there's a difference between the number of tests that he's required to take and whether probation can then submit him to any additional drug treatment. The process, at least in Southern Illinois, works that if Mr. Neal did test positive for some illegal substance in his system, then the probation office would go to the court and petition to have some additional drug treatment provided for Mr. Neal. And at that point, if he wanted to contest that, he could obviously contest that. But right now, we're just talking about the number of tests. If there are no questions from the court...
Apparently not. Thank you. Anything further, Mr. McGowan?
I was not the attorney at below, and I don't know who is asking for this provision. However, from what I just heard, it sounds as though the contact with the government may well have been Mr. Neal complaining about the proposed additional condition. The other thing is that that letter a year before was sent to the district court judge about the drug test that he was being ordered to perform by the BOP when he was in a halfway house. The letter, as I read it, was a request to the judge to tell the BOP people that the judge has to order him to do that, not the BOP.
Okay.
Unless there are any questions, thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. We appreciate your help. Thanks to the government as well. We'll take the case under advisement, and the court will be in recess.
Thank you.